This will destroy the Chiss, Thrawn said quietly. The defense fleet, and only the defense fleet, can safely take possession of this vessel. I understand, and I'll do what I can to stall the Aristokra, Aralani said. But in the meantime, you are under detention. Order your people to assemble in the hangar to return to our vessels. For a long moment, Thrawn stood motionless. Then, slowly, he bowed his head and activated his comlink. This is Commander Meeth Thrawn Nuruodo, he said. All Chiss warriors aboard outbound flight. Return to the hangar bay. Thank you, Aralani said. Now, if you please, she added, gesturing back toward the blast doors. You too, Cardass. Cardass took a deep breath. I'm not under Chiss command, Admiral, he said. I'd like to stay aboard a while longer. Aralani's eyes narrowed. What are you planning? Surely you can't fly this vessel alone. I'm not under Chiss command, Cardass repeated, and the Aristocrat's order didn't mention me. Aralani looked at Thrawn, then at the incoming Fifth Family ships, then finally back at Cardass. Permission granted, she said. She started toward the blast doors. I'll also stay, Thras said. Aralani stopped in mid-step. What? I'm also not under Chiss military command, Thras said. And Aristokra Chafform Bintrano didn't mention me either. Aralani sent a hard look at Thrawn. We'll both be destroyed by this, she warned. The role of a warrior is to protect the Chiss people, Thrawn reminded her. The warrior's own survival is of only secondary importance. For half a dozen heartbeats, the two of them locked gazes. Then, with a hissing sigh, Aralani turned to Thras. Pes Favri is the nearest defense fleet base. You know the coordinates. Thras nodded. Yes. Then we leave you, she said, nodding to him. May warrior's fortune smile on your efforts. She continued toward the blast doors. Thrawn lingered for a last long look at his brother, then followed. And a minute later, Cardass and Thras were alone. You really think we can get this thing all the way to a military base? Cardass asked. You miss the point, friend Cardass, Thras said grimly. Weren't you listening to my brother? It would be better for outbound flight to be destroyed than to let any single family claim it. Cardass felt a sudden tightening in his throat. Wait a second, he protested. I was just going to try to lock outbound flight down so that the Aristocrat's people couldn't get aboard without blasting their way in. I didn't sign up for a suicide mission. Courage, Cardass, Thras assured him. Neither did I. I assume we can set this vessel's course to intersect the local sun, then escape in the shuttle we arrived in. Cardass thought it over. I think so. Then let us do it, Thras said. Your people built this vessel. Tell me what to do. The turbo lift shaft was reasonably clear, and the car reached D4 with only a few bumps and scrapes. The dreadnought itself didn't seem too badly damaged either, except, of course, for all the bodies. The medical droids had already started clearing them away, probably taking them all to one of the medical labs, where, according to the droids' now outdated programming, living beings would be waiting to give orders on how to proceed. But there was no one to receive the corpses. Lorana stretched out with the Force and worked with the ship's comm system, hoping, against all her fears, that someone might have miraculously survived the cataclysm that had overtaken outbound flight. But no one answered either call. D4, it seemed, was dead. Of defenders and attackers alike. And that, Lorana found both curious and ominous. Surely the Chiss hadn't gone to all the effort to destroy outbound flight, simply to abandon it. But then, where were they? She spent only a little time on D4 before continuing on. The turbo lift to D3 was inoperable, implying damage to the cars or the pylon or both. So she headed instead to D5. There she picked her way through the same debris and bodies and received the same negative result to her efforts at communication. D6, the next ship on her grisly tour, was much the same. Still, all three ships seemed to be mostly airtight again, with adequate light and heat and gravitation. The service droids had used the past few hours well. If the Chiss truly had abandoned outbound flight, she and the others might be able to make it at least partially operational again. She was in the turbo lift heading for D1 when her senses caught the faint whisper of nearby life. She pressed her head against the wall of the car, stretching out with the force as best her own injuries and lingering horror would allow. There were definitely living beings out there. Alien beings, and not very many of them. But at least there was someone. And she and her turbolift car were headed straight toward them. The door opened in front of him, and with a not very gentle nudge at the small of his back, the pair of yellow-clad Chiss gestured Doriana forward. He found himself on a command bridge, similar to the one aboard the Springhawk, only bigger and crewed exclusively by Chiss in the same yellow uniforms as his escort. It made Mithron Nuruado's black uniforms stand out that much more in contrast as he stood in the center of the room before a Chiss in a gray and yellow robe. Behind Mithron Nuruado, a female Chiss, dressed all in white, stood at stiff attention. The robed Chiss eyed Doriana as his escort again nudged him forward. He spat something in the Chiss language. "So this is your collaborator," Mithron Nuruado translated. "Hardly," Doriana said, loading his voice with as much dignity and disdain as he could, just in case the robed Chiss was able to pick up on verbal cues. He had no idea the details, but it was obvious that there was some kind of power struggle going on here. And Kinman Doriana, assistant to Supreme Chancellor Palpatine, was quite familiar with power struggles. "I'm an ambassador of a vast assembly of star systems called the Galactic Republic. I came here on a mission of goodwill and exploration." He studied the robed Chiss carefully, as Mithron Nuruado translated, but the other merely smiled cynically and spoke again. "You came to bring chaos and war to this region of space," Mithron Nuruado translated. "You have brought alien weapons that you intended to use against the Chiss Ascendancy." The robed Chiss straightened slightly as Mithron Nuruado finished and spoke again. "But you have failed. Those weapons are now the property of the fifth ruling family. I, Aristocrat Chapform Bintrano, hereby take possession." Doriana nodded to himself. So it was outbound flight and its technology that was at issue here. And he knew enough about internecine conflict to know that letting one Chiss group have sole possession of it would probably create terrible conflict with the other groups, up to, and possibly including, civil war. Which would of course be precisely the situation Darth Sidious would want to see here. A Chiss ascendancy, entangled with its own internal problems, couldn't pose a threat to the Sith Lord's plans for the Republic and the new order he planned to create. Standing here in the middle of Aristocrat Chapform Bintrano's people, all Doriana had to do was confirm the Fifth Family's claim, and he would help with the Chiss on that long and bitter road. But as he opened his mouth to speak, he looked at Mithron Nuruado. The commander was looking back at him, his face expressionless, his glowing eyes focused unblinkingly on him. "I'm sorry, Aristocrat Chapform Bintrano, but outbound flight is not yours to take possession of," Doriana said. "As a duly appointed representative of the Republic that sent the project on its journey, I claim full salvage rights." Chapform Bintrano seemed taken aback as Mithron Nuruado finished the translation. He bit something out. "Ridiculous," Mithron Nuruado said. "An aggressor has no rights." "I deny your claim that either I or outbound flight have behaved aggressively toward your people," Doriana countered. and I demand a full hearing and judgment before any Chiss steps aboard outbound flight. Mithron Uruodo translated. Treform Ventrano's eyes narrowed, his glare shifting to the white-clad female. He said something, she replied, and the argument was on. Doriana looked sideways at Mithron Uruodo. His face was still expressionless, but as his own eyes shifted to meet Doriana's, his lips seemed to twitch upward in a microscopic smile of approval. Just what the commander would do with the mess that had now been stirred up, Doriana didn't know. But to his mild surprise, he discovered he was rather looking forward to finding out. It had taken longer than Cardas had expected to get outbound flight prepped for flight, but at last they were ready. "Okay, get to the helm," he told Thras, glancing out the canopy at the Chiss ships still hovering in the near distance. Why they hadn't already sent over a boarding party, he couldn't guess. Apparently, Thrawn and Aralani had found a way to stall them.
"Ready?" Thras called.
Stepping to the navigation console, Cardas gave it one final check. Course set and locked in, ready to take outbound flight on its final voyage. Crossing to the engineering console, he settled his fingers on the power feed controls.
"Watch out!" Thras snapped.
Cardas spun around, expecting to see a whole squad of yellow-suited Chiss charging in on them. But to his astonishment, he found himself facing a lone female human. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Thras snatch a weapon out of concealment in his robe. In reply, the woman produced a short metal cylinder, and a green lightsaber blade blazed into existence.
"No!"
he barked, waving a hand frantically at Thras. But it was too late. The other's weapon hissed out a blue bolt, which the woman sent ricocheting harmlessly into the ceiling.
"I said stop!"
Cardas called again.
"She's a Jedi!"
To his relief, Thras didn't fire again.
"What do you want?"
the Chiss demanded instead.
"He wants to know what you want,"
Cardas said, translating the Cha'oon for her. Her eyes flicked to him. "He doesn't speak basic?"
"No,"
Cardas said. "But he knows some Sybisti, if that helps." "It does." She looked back at Thras. "Who are you?" she asked, switching to that language.
"I am Syndic Mith Thras Safis, of the 8th ruling family of the Chiss Ascendancy,"
Thras identified himself.
"And I'm George Cardas,"
Cardas added.
"Who are you?"
"Lorana Jinsler," she said. Her eyes flicked across the dead bodies, and an edge of fresh pain crossed her face. "Who else is aboard?"
"At the moment, just us,"
Thras said. He hesitated, then slipped his weapon back into his tunic.
"But a member of one of the ruling families is trying to claim outbound flight for himself. We're trying to prevent that."
Jinsler's eyes narrowed.
"How?"
"We're going to have to scuttle it," Cardas said, watching her face carefully. Even with nothing left but torn and broken metal, there was an even chance she would be attached enough to the Hulk to object violently to its destruction. People went all weird like that sometimes. Sure enough, her eyes widened.
"No,"
she insisted. "I can fly outbound flight."
"By yourself?"
Thras asked in clear disbelief.
"One single person?"
"One single Jedi," Jinsler corrected him. "Master Sebaeth insisted we all learn to handle all the major systems, at least under normal conditions."
"The conditions here are hardly normal,"
Cardas pointed out. "And it still leaves the question of where we go. We'll never make it back to the Republic, not with this much damage. Any idea what other habitable worlds there might be out there?"
"Even if I did, I would caution against anything nearby,"
Thras said.
"This region is dangerous, with pirates and privateers all around."
"Not to mention what's left of the Vagari," Cardas agreed with a shiver. "Come on, Thras, think. There has to be something else we can do." Thras gazed out at the 5th family ships.
"There's one other possibility," he said slowly. "Within 2 days' flight is a star cluster that the defense fleet has begun to fortify as an emergency refuge. I've seen the data, and there are at least 10 habitable worlds within it that haven't yet been explored. Kind of an out-of-the-way homestead, Cardass pointed out doubtfully. And still in Chiss space, Jinsler added.
But it's a place where vessels of the Fifth Family wouldn't accidentally discover you, Thras said. Only Defense Fleet personnel go inside, and only to specific systems as they work on the fortifications.
So what's the catch? Cardass asked. Thras made a face.
The catch is that I don't have the safe access routes into the cluster. Are your navigational systems capable of finding such routes on their own?
Probably not, Jinsler said. But I might be able to. There are Jedi navigational techniques that should be good enough to take us through even a star cluster.
So what happens if she can? Cardass asked Thras.
I return and negotiate in secret with the Council of Families for your safe passage home, Thras said, then looked at Jinsler.
There are other hyper-capable vessels aboard that I could use, are there not?
Just one. A 2-passenger Delta 12 Sky Sprite, Jinsler said.
But it should have the range you need.
So that's it?
Cardass asked. We hide outbound flight in this cluster, negotiate a deal with the Chiss, all the Chiss, and everyone gets what they want?
Basically. Jinsler hesitated. But the we won't include you. For a long moment, she held his eyes.
You'd better go then, she said.
Good luck.
He looked to Thras.
To both of you.
10 minutes later, Cardass eased the Chiss shuttle out of the Dreadnought's hangar and flew it clear. Turning the nose toward the waiting Fifth Family ships, he looked back over his shoulder at the magnificent failure that had been outbound flight. He wondered if anyone would ever see it again.
For a moment, Thras and Lorana stood silently. Then, taking a deep breath, Thras released her hand.
Then let us bring this part of history to a close, he said briskly.
May warrior's fortune smile on our efforts.
Yes, Lorana said.
And may the Force be with us.
This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars Outbound Flight by Timothy Zahn. This program was produced, directed, and abridged by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars Outbound Flight is a production of Lucasfilm Limited. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production, copyright 2006, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House Audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.